This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek.
Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9 with Andrew the Apprentice and Mr. Tim.
Good evening.
Now, tonight, Tim, we are talking about PrEP.
Yes, we sure are. And we've had a comment from David on Facebook, and I think this frames it quite well. As a PrEP user, and like so many others, I suspect, I find myself regularly being in the position of educating potential sexual partners as to what PrEP is, how it works, and what it means. Obviously, those who are HIV positive have been faced with it for years, but I find myself in a moral dilemma. A, leave it to them to educate themselves because it's their responsibility. B, give them a rough and simplified interpretation of PrEP. Or C, allowing them to make an informed decision by going through the details, including the limitations and strengths of the drug and the research around it. Now, it's definitely changed the way, I think, that we approach sex.
How we prepare for sex.
How we prepare for it. And I even noticed that some of the social media apps are now allowing you to put PrEP.
Yes, I saw that as well. When one of them updated the other day, I was like, yes, now, what's your preference? Which is interesting, and I think we'll touch on preferences a bit later on.
Mm.
Joining us this evening is somebody who's on PrEP, Mr. Phil. Good evening.
Good evening. Hello.
Hello. Now, how long have you been on PrEP for?
I've been on PrEP for about 9 months now. So I started just after the new year.
So why?
Basically because I'm a sexually active member of the Melbourne gay scene. There were a few things working up to it, but I've always been, ever since I came to Melbourne, I've been big on going to Melbourne Sexual Health Clinic, and because I know I have a lot of sex, or I know I have sex, basically, and it's good to be responsible. So when I heard about PrEP from just friends of mine who are quite sort of into that or into sort of knowing a lot of things about the gay community, I sort of, it really sparked my interest as well. And I sort of added it as just one more thing to be the most responsible I could be, really. Changed a bit over time, but that's initially why I got in. And one of the other things is I suppose there is a lot of HIV positive people in Melbourne. And I've, in the last 2 years, really started to, have a lot of friends, really, that are HIV positive.
Yep.
And I've been having casual sex partners and whatever that have HIV positive. So I thought, well, I want to protect myself as much as possible. So, I looked into it. Took me a while to look into it and figure out who knew how to get it and all that sort of stuff. But, I've been on it for a bit now.
So what did you find to be the easiest way to get it? Because as we know, it's not under PBS or anything at the moment.
Yep. So I just talked to a friend who was currently getting it through a doctor. So just, he's not at any of the clinics or whatever, but I have heard his name come up on Facebook and that, so a few people are using this particular doctor. And they've, so I just went to him. He's a gay guy as well, knew what I was talking about and said, I wanted to go on PrEP and did the test. I did, the kidney and the blood test as well, liver function, came back a week later. He also asked when was the last time I had unprotected sex. So just because they wanted to make sure that, or he wanted to make sure that I didn't actually contract HIV in the last 6 months. So I'd been having 100% condom use before that.
Mm-hmm.
So, the HIV test that came back negative was I don't know, you could trust it, I suppose.
Sure.
And and then straight on PrEP after that. And then once I got the prescription, I asked friends, but I use a place called alldaychemist.com, and that's just online. So you get a prescription from the doctor off the plan. I just took a photo of it and emailed it with the prescription on the website. And then a couple of weeks later, they sent me the pills.
It's interesting. I went on Monday and saw a doctor about it. And he is one of those doctors that prescribes it regularly. And they got me to fill out a questionnaire on my risk. And they said, basically, if you're over 10 on the scale, you're declared high risk. But if you're under that, he wouldn't prescribe PrEP to you because they want people who are the highest risk, the ones who are either engaging in sex with HIV positive people have more than, I think it was six or more partners in 6 months was one of the things. So it was really interesting going through that survey and realizing I have quite a lot of sex.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, I don't know if that may have put me off a little bit, because actually the doctor I went to wondered why I was wanting PrEP, because he said, oh, have you had any sort of, you know, condom breakages or anything like that? Do you have unprotected sex often? And I don't, you know, and I didn't. I've always been good. And, you know, pretty much I can think of two partners in the last year that I've had unprotected sex with, and that was very specific circumstances sort of thing.
So 9 months on PrEP.
Yep.
How has it changed the conversation? Have you wanted to have the conversation about PrEP prior to having sex?
I did initially. A lot of people were interested about PrEP, but I have recently found out that bringing PrEP up just before sex is probably not the best time to have a good conversation, because, you know, talking about PrEP, you need to talk a lot about a lot of issues, and in the heat of the moment, it's probably not the best time to talk about it.
And that's what David was saying on Facebook. You know, there's a few options. One, you sort of ignore it, or two, you give it a cursory thing, or you go into the detail.
Oh, yeah. And I fully agree with what David's saying. It can get exhausting sometimes, but I quite like it. I love talking about what I'm up to at the moment. And yeah, everybody that sort of hears you openly talk about PrEP has questions, whether or not they be the basic ones like, what is it, to do you find you use less condoms, and to do you remember to take it every day, all that sort of stuff, or how did you get it? Yeah, it can be really exhausting. But I do actually have two good friends of mine who thought the same thing. They were getting asked the same question again and again, and kind of got sick of telling people about it. And they started up a thing called PrEP for Change.
Okay. Yep.
So that's Chris Williams and Dan McPhail. And yeah, and they've got some good ideas that they're starting to bring in, and they just sort of want to make it more open for the information. And there's another one, PrEP Access Now, that's sort of doing the same thing. There's just sort of going, well, people are asking me individually, how can I get that information out to more people? So yeah, I think I'm going to try and get involved in those kind of things as well, because I really like to make people aware of that.
Have there been many assumptions from people that, okay, I'm on PrEP, I'm happy to bear back?
I've definitely received, well, not both sides, because I suppose I've actually received it on the, as a PrEP user without telling somebody that I'm PrEP, sort of the other person saying, I'm on PrEP, or I'm HIV positive but undetectable, we don't need to use condoms. And I definitely, from the other perspective, don't quite agree with that that sort of approach. I still think that you've got to have respect for both parties, and just assuming that the other person, PrEP is only new and there's a lot of information out there, assuming that the other person knows about PrEP and understands that, and again, in the heat of the moment, you can't tell them all the statistics, all the studies and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. My sexual practices is, if the other person is, well, for starters, I've got to make sure if I want to use a condom or not. But if the other person wants to use a condom, it's really important, and I think it is important at the moment, not to make that person feel ashamed or the bad guy being the condom user.
Absolutely.
You said before, and now you use condoms regularly, less so now than previously. But I'm just thinking, okay, going back to prior to you starting PrEP, What were the steps you'd go through to ensure that a condom was? I'm just interested about the discussion, because sometimes, as you said, heat of the moment, it doesn't get brought up.
Yeah.
Were there certain things you would ask or say?
I've definitely stopped a lot of sexual encounters when the other guy hasn't sort of initiated with a condom, and then I've suggested that, no, you need to pick up a condom before we start having sex, and then he has it, and I was like, okay, well, we're stopping. And they usually happen when one of us doesn't have a condom, or we're in a situation like, you know, at a club, or, well, a special club, you know, or just in that sort of thing. But usually in those sorts of situations, I'm finding they're the ones that I'm still currently using a condom when having sex. I reckon for about the first 6 months of my PrEP usage, I went from 100% condom use down to about 90% condom use. I was not using condoms with pretty much just a couple of regular partners who I knew well, and that was sort of part of my risk assessment. After about the 6 month point, I suppose I sort of had a lot of trust in PrEP as a drug. So I've now sort of changed my sex, safe sex practices to go from, you know, I'm using a condom all the time to protect myself against everything. I've now take PrEP once every day in the morning, and that covers me for HIV. And I'm very trustful of it now. It took me a while, but I definitely have a bit of trust. So I've covered my sex practices with PrEP for HIV. Mm. And then now I find I'm doing a risk assessment for STIs instead.
So how are you doing that?
Well, I suppose it's different for each person. That's, yeah, and yeah. I definitely know a
he
lot of
looks like he's got chlamydia. Nah, well, not going to touch him.
Because, you know, you know, it can have stuff in the throat that you can't see. And
this is exactly right. So before I was on PrEP and when I was using condoms, you know, 99.9% of the time and that sort of thing, I had picked up STIs before.
Yep.
You know, you can pick up STIs from oral blow sex, from nudging, from foreplay, all that sort of stuff. You can pick up STIs. And I think when I first moved to Melbourne, that stigma of, oh, crap, STIs are scary. You know, you go to Melbourne Sexual Health Clinic, you get assessed, you go, you tell the people who you've had sex with, okay, I've got chlamydia, and they come back and they get treated, that sort of thing. So that sort of stigma of STIs brought down, you know, that sort of scare that I have of STIs. And so now I suppose really I probably have reduced my condom use to about 60 to 70%.
Yep.
So I'd say the people I don't use condoms with are people it's a very open word, but people I trust, you know, people I know. In circumstances where I'm at somewhere like Trough X or something like that, I still use condoms. You know, and anybody that asks, even I can say, oh, I'm on PrEP, but no, we're going to use a condom. Like, I have no idea who you are.
Or if you're in a special club.
If you're in a special club. All those sorts of things. If I'm in a situation where I don't know the person, but a lot of the type of sex I have is a lot of connection with people. Like, I do have a few regular sex partners and I really trust them and talk to them. And I'm making a risk assessment. And I suppose if I have a few more, you know, 12 months down the track, if every 3 months I go for this checkup and I'm getting chlamydia, I'll probably change my, I'll probably go, well, it's, you know, it's not working
Change. Yeah, yeah.
But at the moment, I mean, since I've been on PrEP, I've had 3 tests now. I've come out with no STIs and everything's all working fine. And so I suppose, that's sort of not advocated my risk assessment, but just, you know, made me think, yep, okay, I'm doing the right thing. So if, and all my sexual partners know this, if they ever want to, if somebody I've decided in my risk assessment, no, I'm fine to not use a condom, I'm on PrEP for HIV, and I'm happy enough that I probably won't get an STI from you. It's definitely a big problem. But, you know, that sort of thing. If they sort of say, no, you should use a condom, the condoms are right there beside my bed, you know, like, fine by me, you know, I'm quite happy. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
Fireball.
Joy 94.9, Hide and Seek, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice and Tim are with you tonight talking about PrEP with Phil.
We certainly are.
How are you covering, Phil? First time on the radio. Good.
Yeah, it's scary on the radio talking about all my sexual experiences.
Now, Tim, we've had a message in from Mark from Brisbane.
Yes, we have. And Mark has basically said that he's HIV positive.
Yep.
And he finds more confidence when he has sex with partners who are negative because they're on PrEP.
Yeah. And this is a conversation that I've been on the show for quite a while, and I was going back through the archives, and we've been talking about PrEP for, probably 18 months, almost 2 years now. See me regularly. If you want to go back through our archives, joy.org.au/hideandseek, all the podcasts are there. Very easy to, you can download them all and listen to them in the car on the way home from work. Yes.
Plug.
I've got another plug. I've better write that down later. now, but one of the conversations that has skipped my mind for some reason has been that the impact of PrEP for HIV positive guys.
Definitely, because there would be that anxiety about accidentally passing it on.
Yeah. So, Phil, have you had conversations with positive guys about how PrEP is impacting them?
Definitely. I've had a few in the past positive partners, so sexual partners, and at the moment have quite a few positive friends as well. So sexual partners have definitely, even during sex, have found it, you know, always in the back of their mind and have said so during sex as well. And even as far as wanting different positions, top and bottom and all that sort of stuff, and what they feel more comfortable with, even making the other person feel comfortable that you're quite happy. And I know that's a very, you know, it's fundamentally a thing that most people think, okay, HIV positive people are fine, you know, it's perfect, you can't contract it, all this sort of stuff with condoms. But when a lot of people are faced in the room with that sort of thing, everybody's still thinking about it in the back of their head. And something like PrEP, when one of them's taking it, just takes a little bit of that edge off as well. You're like, no, actually, I took a pill this morning, so I don't have... And I worried about it last night.
And we probably both took the same pill at the same time this morning.
Exactly, because it's the same pill he takes and, you know, he's undetectable and all that sort of stuff. And you're like, well, actually, we worried about it earlier today. How about we just have good sex now?
Yeah.
And that sort of it makes it a lot easier. And from what I've heard from HIV-positive people, well, you'd have to exactly get their opinion, but, it's definitely changed. They're definitely happy that I am quite comfortable with sex with positive people.
And the risk reduction strategy would change a bit too, I would imagine, because, you know, there's some guys that I've spoken to too who are HIV positive and, for example, they wouldn't come in someone else.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's all the preferences and things like that.
Mm.
Coincidentally, and you've got to stick with me here, a lot of the time HIV positive people are the people I have condom sex with, but not for the reason that you think, because I do get a lot of strong messages from people, say on Grindr or Scruff or that, and you know, when they find out that I'm quite open, they say, oh, I'm HIV positive, is that fine? I'm like, I don't care, yeah, that's good, all good, I am knowledgeable about that fact. And then the next thing they say is, do you want to fuck raw? And they're like, oh, hang on a second. Hey, I know I can have sex with you, the thing, but how about we talk, and you know, my name's Phil and what's your name? So only just I find that sometimes when such a person who's had a lot of stigma, I suppose, finds somebody that is recently that's either on PrEP or they get very not excited, that's a silly way of putting it, but they get very strong and you just sort of just got to go, well, back down a second. And then I find that I'm like, well, that sort of attitude is not the attitude that makes me comfortable and will actually still have sex with condoms, thanks.
There are some friends that I know that have recently gone on PrEP and they have found the experience quite liberating as a negative person. That is that they do enjoy condomless sex and are more comfortable doing that, whereas before they would be, okay, condoms, I don't want to catch anything. But I imagine it would be similar for some HIV positive guys to go, actually, I'm not going to pass it on necessarily.
My friends and my ex-partners and or not partners but sexual partners were terrified of it. You know, they're not to random faces, but when you have a good conversation about it, most people are like, oh, you know, do I tell people beforehand and things and those sorts of ideas. And they really are terrified. Nobody wants to pass on HIV, you know. Oh. It's a terrible virus sort of thing. So having PrEP as that one background thing has been really good. But and I've also spoken to I mentioned to a friend that I'm going on the radio today talking about PrEP, and you could just tell all of a sudden he was like, oh, he wanted to ask so many questions about PrEP. And I said, oh, we're just on a quick phone call. Let's worry about it later. But I'm here to ask questions. But basically you could hear from him that, yeah, he was. After even having condom sex and things like that, he was scared about catching HIV. All we have grown up, I mean, I'm 31. For the past 20 years of my sort of life, you hear about AIDS, HIV, you know, and that stigma doesn't get away. So even for negative people, there's that worry. Even everybody goes for their test and gets their finger pricked or gives blood, and it's a little bit worrying for that week when you wait for your test results to come back. Whether you're negative or positive, it's still in the back of your mind, I think, as a gay male.
Absolutely.
as you said, Phil, for POS guys, and you know, over the years, I'm sure we've had guys on here that, you know, said essentially, I was a top and then I became positive and then I became bottom. And as you said, some of them probably are now able to or feel freer to switch.
Yep.
Have you been switching around as well?
I'm always a switcher, Andrew. You're always a switcher.
I'm wondering whether it changes the negative guys, particularly if they're having sex with somebody they know is HIV positive.
Yeah.
Even if they're, you know, and they're undetectable. But there's still this a risk assessment strategy that we've been told about as being is topping and bottoming. And
well, to tell you the truth, until recently, I hadn't really heard that. Like, until even moving to Melbourne, I sort of hadn't researched. In fact, the first guy that told me that he was positive on one of the apps, I didn't actually realise he meant he was HIV positive. But one of the sexual partners I had recently was sort of, when he told me that it was positive before we had sex and saw the way I reacted, which was comfortable, I suppose. Yep. And I was quite proud of myself in a way that I didn't worry too much about it. And then after he bottomed for a while, he actually was kind of excited. He was like, okay, I'm ready to give topping a go and that sort of thing. So, yeah, again, I suppose it just plays on people's minds. And sex should be fun, you know. Sex should be pleasurable. We've got PrEP, we've got condoms. They're both sort of great things to add for, you know, sexual safety and just peace of mind.
And that's a good point when it comes to sexual anxiety. And I had a similar conversation with my partner and he said, look, I just wanted to go on PrEP because I'm sick and tired of having sex and then feeling like afterwards that I regretted it because I'm worried about catching something.
Yeah.
Catching HIV. Obviously, it doesn't protect you.
I think all gay males STIs. Have had that for sure. Yeah. In any circumstance, even that one where the condom, or you know, it broke, or did I actually put one in because I was pretty drunk and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, that anxiety is. I haven't had to go and get PEP, but I'm assuming anybody that's grabbed PEP in the morning has really been scared of that morning. So
well, it's like the morning after pill.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Do you have a business, product or service that needs to be seen and heard? Become a Joy sponsor and get the best of both worlds. Have your message heard on air by 329,000 monthly listeners. Have your message seen online at joy.org.au via the Joy sponsorship directory. Sponsorship starts from as low as $295. And best of all, those who sponsor us for more than 1 month are featured on our listing free. Yes, free! Call 1-300-JOY-949 or email sales@joy.org.au for more details. Joy 94.9, the diverse voice of the GLBTI community.
Hide and seek.
Joy 94.9, hide and seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice, Tim Little and Mr. Phil are here talking about PrEP and the conversations we have as we prepare for sex. Now, Phil, what are some tips for those who are on PrEP but potentially haven't had the conversations with the new sexual partner yet? Do you have some tips about how to have the conversation?
I think it's important, and definitely important for me to say, that currently the people who are on PrEP or who know about PrEP are kind of in this circle. I'm definitely in this circle. I know a lot of people in Melbourne. I'm, you know, quote, in the scene kind of thing, and a lot of people who are hearing about PrEP are in this bubble. So I think the first thing is important to remember that the other person might not know what the bloody hell you're talking about.
Yep.
Yep.
And David on Facebook, we started off the show by talking about David's questions from Facebook. And he's commenting on Facebook saying, you know, there's really three options. One, have a deep and meaningful about PrEP, or have a short and sharp conversation, or say nothing at all.
Well, I'm actually trying to talk to some friends and get a booth set up outside of Poof Doof, where as you're going into the club, if you want to spend 10 minutes and chat about it, why not come and have a talk or that kind of thing? Because there's so many people who don't know people in the circle.
Yeah.
Who have questions, who have heard about it just on passing and no idea about it. And when somebody doesn't have any information about it or education about it, you can't jump down their throats as if they should be on board with where you are at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a lot of flaming back and forth on both sides on Facebook and all this sort of stuff, where one's trying to be really aggressive to tell the other person their opinion, and both have really valid arguments, but you've sort of got to understand that there is an education gap.
Yeah.
And people have questions that may seem silly to you, but they still require answering. You know, you don't just say, well, I've read all these statistics, I know all this stuff, therefore prep is the way, therefore our communication before sex is prep, that's end of story. And it's not. Prep is not mutually exclusive to condoms. It's not there to go to take over. It is a part of the, I don't know, what sexual practices or whatnot. And it still comes up in a conversation. So if you decide that I don't want to use a condom, if the other person says I do want to use a condom, that's the end of the story. You use a condom or you don't have sex, you know?
Absolutely. That's, you don't force them to do what you want.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. I mean, you can't. And the funny thing is, you know, I would take PrEP with or without the fact that it helped with raw sex, so to speak, you know, quote unquote. Because for me, PrEP is a pill that that's conquering the HIV problem, not to allow me to have raw sex. So there's nothing better than talking to your partner, and I don't care if it's with a condom or without a condom, having consensual fun sex is bloody nice.
Absolutely. Agreed.
So if you have communication, and obviously in the heat of the moment, it's as simple as, I've got condoms in visible range next to my bed.
Or if in you, a laneway.
Yeah, or in a laneway. Well, God, I go to Trough X with condoms in my pocket. You're stupid if you don't.
Yeah.
Like, because you may need them, you know? And then I have my opinions on my risk assessment, my sexual practices. Everybody's allowed to have their own opinions. So a lot of the, and that's the thing, I think from the other side of it, non-PrEP users or people who aren't educated just enough yet, or, okay, that sounds a bit bad, but they're a little bit scared and they want to ask a few questions. Just because other people are using condoms less than you doesn't mean that you have to either. You know, if somebody comes up to you and says, I don't want to use a condom, you stick by your sexual practices and you go, no, I want to use a condom. We're still having sex? Yep, good, let's have fun. You know, so I think if you respect the other person, if you communicate to the other person, you're going to have some awesome sex. Well, I definitely do. So. I don't know about you guys.
You lost me there.
You lost me there.
I just had this image of you, arms flailing in the air.
Oh, that's terrible. But with back on Dave's original question, like I think at the moment we have some PrEP users and the sort of really understanding of a lot of HIV issues as well.
Yeah.
You know, and understanding that the stigma is terrible at the moment and it's still here. So they're really on board and we sort of form this group where we're steamrolling. And at the moment I feel in Melbourne, because PrEP users and the PrEP studies are such a small group, that steamroll sort of thing is actually kind of scaring off people with legitimate questions and legitimate concerns, which they may sound wrong to a quote PrEP user. I'm using all these quotes now, but it may sound wrong. But the legitimate questions that we had a year ago, you don't come out to your parents and expect them to understand being gay straight from the bat. You give them a couple of months. You know what I mean? You let them sort of come on board. And I think, yeah, so just because you're using PrEP doesn't mean anybody else has to. Just because you're using condoms doesn't mean the other person has to. You know, that kind of thing. You know, if somebody's going to get a tattoo, it doesn't affect you. If they're going to get a PA, it doesn't affect you. So if somebody's on PrEP, it doesn't affect you. If you feel like PrEP interests you, ask them. Find out about PrEP.
Well, at the end of the day, you're responsible for your own sexual health.
Indeed.
And if you choose to use that as a tool to protect your sexual health, then no one else can come along and say, okay, what you're doing is wrong.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole fundamental gay emotions. You know, we go for equality. We go for all this. We basically say, you can't tell me what to do. I love guys. You know, well, how's that affecting you?
Yeah.
That's that you can take that same idea to sexual practices. This is my sexual practice. How is it affecting you?
Yeah.
And so if you find somebody who is happy with your sexual practices or, you know, connects with your sexual practices, then voila, you're all good, you know. But I can tell you, if I was deep in the moment and somebody pissed me off and was like, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to tell them to get out of the room still, you know.
Yeah.
Just because I say that I'm on PrEP and I don't mind having unprotected, or not unprotected sex, I don't like mind having condomless sex with people that I really connect with,
Doesn't mean I'm going to do it with you.
Doesn't mean I'm going to do it with you. Just because I like to dance on the podium at Poof Doof in my underwear doesn't mean you can touch me.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, now we're sidetracking. I'm getting a bit too relaxed on air.
Would you like a drink?
So, and this is a question for both of you. What are your thoughts, as you mentioned at the top of the show, Tim, one of the apps has added a new option. Now, I'm pretty certain off the top of my head that you only had one option, I thought.
No, you can choose both.
Oh, you can choose both?
I've actually got both. I've got prep and condom.
Prep, condoms, and what was the third one?
Oh, I haven't actually looked at it. Okay. A friend did mention it, but I haven't. Sort of stuff I don't really...
Do you think that sort of information on an app like that would help, Phil?
I'm two minds at the moment. Mainly because, the friends I know that are putting it on there are wanting to get the word out. They're wanting to, inform people, and they're definitely the people in the forefront, the advocates. You know, they want people to ask questions. They want people to know, what's this prep? What's that sort of thing? I kind of want to be the middleman. Like, I'll tell people I'm on prep, but I also don't want it to be, I'm on prep, let's have sex because I'm on prep.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. Like, that's not the way I have sex. That's not. So I don't want to publish that anywhere at the moment. And I know, as almost a prep advocate myself, I'm supposed to be like, yep, prep this, prep that. But, I'd like to not scare away the people who aren't on board yet.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just looking at the safety practices here. Condoms, prep, and treatment as prevention.
Treatment as prevention, that was the
And
third
you
one.
Can tick all three if you like.
You so can tick all
treatment
three.
As prevention, that's
So that's when, undetectable viral load.
I know stuff.
So that is, HIV positive people using treatment to reduce their viral load is treatment as prevention.
Well, there you go.
There we go. So, Phil, what are your – so a couple of key as we wrap up, a couple of key messages for those who potentially listening to this program for the first time have never heard PrEP before. What's your key word of advice as a PrEP user?
Okay. If you are listening to this program and it sparks interest, I think that's enough. I think if you want to know about PrEP, there are plenty of people in – Melbourne that know about PrEP and to voice out, as the only two I know at the moment for Facebook pages are PrEP for Change and PrEP Access Now, but it's full of all my friends. Like, it's not a big conglomeration or anything. It's just full of us, me, Tim and Andrew are all on it.
We're not Scientologists.
And we're
not
all
that
willing
that's
to
a bad
talk
thing.
To And we understand that some people are a bit more vocal and some people are a bit more cool and this thing, and I'm a bit of a dork, so if you want to have a dorky conversation about PrEP, I'm more than happy to talk to you about it, but it also might not be for you. So if you feel you're having if PrEP sounds about right for you, for me it made me feel confident that I'm tackling HIV for prevention for myself,
and as you were saying before, it helps you to free up any anxieties that are happening during sex.
That and a bit of Viagra. No.
And also, as we mentioned before, for guys who are HIV positive, it frees them up too.
It will free them
up. It will free them up.
I've definitely, there's a lot of anxiety still with my friends, and a couple of my friends constantly tell me that they are disclosing their HIV status to other people and getting... not negative responses, but scared responses. Hopefully, and I can't tell my friends that no, that's not the case, because it is the case. It's still the case now. There's still that stigma there. But I really do hope that we're on the right path for that sort of thing. So if you want to talk about PrEP and if you want to get on PrEP, it's pretty easy. $60 a month. Every 3 months, I go to the doctors, I get a prescription, I order it online.
If you want more information, vac.org.au has got lots of information. Also, Living Positive Victoria will have lots of information as well. A big thank you, Phil, for joining us this evening.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
That's all right. Now, Tim, all of our podcasts, including this program, will be available online at joy.org.au/hideandseek.
Hopefully not to my work colleagues.
Also, go to joy.org.au now or at least before Saturday, because the Joy Listener Survey 2015 is up and up there. Yeah, and
vote for us,
because at the Joy AGM over the weekend, it was, you know, was announced that Hide and Seek was the most popular specialist program on Joy for 2014. So we want to make sure that we maintain that for 2015.
Yes.
So go to joy.org.au to fill out the listener survey. Let us know what you think. Coming up next, we should say big thank you to David, who does all the podcasts as well.
Thanks, David. Thanks, David. He does a great job.
This has been Hide and Seek, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self on Joy 94.9.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hideandseek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au. Hide and Seek is presented by Andrew the Apprentice, James Findlay and Avi Miller. Post-production by David Cheshire.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek. Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.